And good afternoon. Welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and hello to our brothers and sisters out there in Radio Land listening to us. And maybe we have some good callers today, and we'll all be blessed.
Amen. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for some 40 years now. We can't thank you enough. It's only because of that support that we're able to bring you shows like today's. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. I think next month, Father, it'll be 9 years since we've been on the air together doing this show. Hard to believe it's been that long. But
it seems like, I don't know, maybe a few months ago we were in that Chinese restaurant with Kathleen talking about this.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And how time flies.
Yeah, I imagine it's got to be 400 shows or so. It'd be interesting to go back and see. But I bring it up because just about every week I mention that we're available to come out and speak. And I don't know that we've ever gotten any nibbles on that. And I know that you're really busy now with your three jobs between your involvement in Our House Ministries, being rector at the Malvern Retreat House, and being a missionary of mercy. But in any event, if you need a speaker, get in touch with Maureen here at In His Sign, and she can put you in touch with me, and we'll see what we can do. I also want to send down an apology for last Wednesday. Actually, it's probably old Red Legs that should be given the apology, but we had the internet go out on us about halfway through the Saints and Sinners show, and we scrambled for a little bit trying to figure out what was going on, and the internet came back, and we seemed to be connected to WTMR, but the signal wasn't good. They were saying it was coming out garbled on their end. So I know at least one person called in looking for a book. Dennis, I can get that book to you. Either shoot me a text message with a mailing address, or come to Calyx again, and I'll get that book to you. I still have copies of it. But apparently they played a replay of a show with Daniel O'Connor in the 5 o'clock hour. And I bring it up because I learned from Kathleen years ago when things like that happen, that we just keep we keep motoring. And so a father was disconnected. I finished the Saints and Sinners show on my own last week, but in the 5 o'clock hour I had the president of the retreat house out at Malvern, Michael Norton, was on, and we talked about all things retreat related, and it was actually a pretty good show that didn't go out over the air. If you were on Facebook Live, and that's the other thing, this show does go out over Facebook. If you go to In His Sign Catholic Radio, the Facebook page, and like it, you'll get a pop-up once in a while when shows go live here. I'm in the studio. You'll be able to see my face, unfortunately. It's a face made for radio, but now we're doing Facebook Live. But apparently that was fine last week. I know there weren't too many people viewing us over Facebook Live, but the recording of the show is always there on Facebook. But I did upload the two shows from last week, along with all the other shows that get recorded each week, get uploaded to our website at inhissign.com. If you click on content and then podcasts, you'll see a list of them all. And I highly recommend going out and listening to the show that we recorded last week with Mike Norton. Maybe we'll replay it one of these Thursdays. And to that end, if you're a fan, if you will, of this show or the 5 o'clock show, I have an account now on Substack. It's notsaintsyet.substack.com. It's notsaintsyet.substack.com. And put out a couple posts each week. And on Thursday morning, I usually put a recap of the radio shows from Wednesday along with links to those recordings. So it's free to subscribe. Some people have taken a paid subscription. It's not necessary. But I'm doing a series now on the 12 steps. I'll be doing some additional posts for Lent as Lent moves along here. But if you're you want to get that recap, especially in the links to the shows, Take a look at notsaintsyet.substack.com. Our shrine to Matt Talbot in St. Gabriel's Church is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. until at least 4:30 p.m. On Tuesdays, we have a holy hour from 3 to 4 with novena prayers and benediction at 4 o'clock. Those novena prayers from Matt Talbot. And then on 4 o'clock, at 4 o'clock on Thursdays before the shrine closes, we pray a rosary together. You're all more than welcome to come. That's St. Gabriel's Church, not the one in Norwood, the one at 29th and Dickinson in the Grays Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. If you're coming down, get in touch with Father or I, and we can make arrangements to meet you over in church. And we've got a few retreats. Sorry, Father.
No, I was saying that how nice it was last night, Ken, in church with our holy hour confessions, and how the Lord sent another priest to us, Father Brian Connolly. He came just in time to hear confessions and to celebrate the Mass and give a homily, and gave me a rest. Yeah. So Father Michael Shea, he's been busy out there giving retreats and letting retreats. So it was good that the Lord would send another priest to us to help us out. So a warm welcome to Father Brian Connolly, who's the pastor administrator there at St. Dominic's there in North Philly?
Northeast Philly, yeah.
Northeast Philly.
Yeah, we were talking this morning. I'm not sure of the exact neighborhood, but, yeah, Frankfort Avenue in Northeast Philly. And that was part of our third Tuesday for our Calyx meeting. So in addition to having the novena on Tuesday afternoon, on the third Tuesday of the month, we have another holy hour from 6 to 7 and Mass at 7 o'clock. And that's offered for all those who are either in recovery, still active in their addiction, and their loved ones. And again, all are more than welcome for that. We'll announce that again after the break at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah.
We've got a few.
A great turnout, Ken, for Malvern, for the new Calyx unit out there. We had close to 30 people, and just a good time in a big circle. And I had Mass at St. Joseph's Chapel there, benediction, adoration. And then we had pizza, and then we had our meeting. But it was everyone seemed to like the new setting, the new environment there in the hills of St. Joseph's.
Yeah, it's good to have a meeting down that way, Chester County. And we'd had a few folks that were traveling up from Chester County to come to Glenside or to Grays Ferry, and now a whole lot closer for them at the Malvern Retreat House. And speaking of the Malvern Retreat House, a couple of retreats that are coming up. Kathleen McCarthy, Father Roach, and Father McKay will be out at Malvern this weekend, February 23rd to the 25th. The Family Life Center is sold out, but they apparently are putting overflow in St. Joe's and Corrigan. So you might still be able to register for that retreat. It's Rekindle the Fire. That's going to start this Friday at dinner time and run till Sunday. Another retreat that was just announced at Malvern, they were able to get Father Chris Allar from the Marians of the Immaculate Conception up in Stockbridge. We'll be down Mother's Day weekend, and this retreat will also feature Kathleen McCarthy. It's their first annual Mother's Day retreat, and it'll be May 10th to the 12th. And in talking to Mary B. D'Amico, I think one of the things that's a little different about this is that families can come out on Sunday to join their mother and father if he attends as well. It's a male and female, the co-ed retreat. So if your kids wanted to come out and join you for Mass on Sunday, they would be more than welcome. And the other retreats, my own men's retreat, one that I started going on in 1993, that this year that's going to be August 16th to the 18th. The retreat director will be Father Bryce Lundgren, who we're bringing in from Cheyenne, Wyoming. We had Father Lundgren on last March, talking about his book, The Catholic Cowboy Way. So, again, that's a men's weekend. If you've attended other men's weekends at Malvern, I know how people like to stick to the same weekend every year. But if you can't make your own, or perhaps you want to add a second one, like Father McKay says, you go to the dentist twice a year, you should be making two retreats a year. I'd be more than happy to have you come out on our weekend. You can get in touch with me and give you the details. Or For any of these retreats, you can register online at malvernretreat.com. That's malvernretreat.com. Or call the retreat house at 610-644-0400.
That's right, Ken. Make a retreat every 6 months to prevent truth decay.
Amen. All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the Father, the following is the prayer for the canonization of Venerable Matt Talbot. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. This is a one-hour call-in show with 48 minutes left now. Anybody's more than welcome to call in and join in the conversation. The phone numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're calling from a distance and need to call toll-free, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls when we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. If God's touched you in a particular way in the last couple of weeks and you want to share it with our listeners, we'd love to hear from you. We are currently in the first week of Lent. And we've got a couple of saints in the calendar this week. Today we celebrate St. Peter Damian, Bishop and Doctor of the Church. On Thursday, the 22nd, the chair of St. Peter the Apostle. And on Friday, the 23rd, St. Polycarp, Bishop and Martyr. And before we even have a chance to get started, we got a caller on the line. Father, we're going to go to Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Ken. How are you?
All right. Didn't even give us a chance to get started. How you doing, pal?
Yeah, I'm jumping the gun before you even announce the subject for today. But I was just thinking of two things. When Father Doug was saying how fortunate it was to have another priest come, I used to go to St. Peter the Apostle, 5th and Girard, the National Shrine of St. John Newman.
Mm-hmm.
And I read his story. When he graduated from the seminary, the bishop refused to ordain him because there were too many priests. They had so many priests they didn't need anymore. They would have had no place to put him. He had to come to America where we needed priests. I mean, that was amazing, you know?
Yeah. No, I just heard something similar this morning. I was listening to somebody talking about Ukraine and Russia and how through prophecies, Fatima and Ruschev, which I had never heard about, that Ukraine's going to be responsible for converting Russia. And in part of that, they talked about just what you mentioned, how our seminaries are relatively empty here compared to where they were at the end of the 19th century. Well, what this gentleman said this morning was that the seminaries and monasteries in Russia are overflowing with Russian Orthodox.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But we said it last night. You know, Father's talked about, Father McKay has mentioned a couple of times about the number of priests that will be retiring in the next 24 months here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And if you think we're shorthanded now, 24
wow.
months from now, we're going to be even more shorthanded. And so We need to pray for vocations, but I think even more importantly, pray for the men that have already given their lives to Christ as priests, because they're going to be being pulled left and right. With as the number of priests, active priests, continues to go down in the next 24 months or so.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening there that the prayer of Jesus is pray to the harvest master to send out laborers to his vineyard. The vocations are out there. Sometimes it's mothers or fathers keeping their children out of the seminaries or trying to push them into the seminaries. But we need to encourage vocations to the youth. And the other day I had the opportunity, I was at Father Eugene Michael Tully's funeral mass, his graduation ceremony. And they had the little children that were servers. You know, one little boy had the crozier, another little boy had the mitre. And they did such a wonderful job. And Pat Kennedy, who was my chauffeur, took me back and forth from St. Joseph's and Ambler. As I was coming out, the little boys are walking with their grandparents and their parents. And I said, Pat, stop the car. And he did. And I rolled down the window. And I said, you guys really did well. I'm really proud of you. I said, I can see that you're probably going to be priests when you grow up. You know, it's just like planting the seed. Right. When I talked to the little ones, I said, what do you want to be when you grow up? Even before they can answer, I said, did you say a priest? A priest or a religious or a sister? But somehow we just need to put the word out there and encourage those seeds.
Yes.
But the vocations are out there. We just got to encourage them and foster them.
I learned from my pastor in New Jersey. He's from Haiti. He taught me so much you can accomplish by doing one thing. You just ask. I did more for him than I ever did before in a parish. And the only difference was he asked me. He says, Father, goes, you never say no. I said, well, nobody ever asked me before. You ask me? Yeah, of course I'll do that. You ask me? Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do it. But nobody ever asked. And that's right. It. Nobody ever asked me if I wanted to be a priest, you know? The other thing I was thinking, the name of your program, Saints and Sinners, the Catholic Church is filled with saints. Are we the only ones who have saints? I mean, there has to be wonderful Protestant people and wonderful Jewish people and wonderful other people, you know? Do we just not hear about them or what?
They don't have the canonization process, and I don't think that they talk about saints the way that we do in the belief in the communion of saints.
Right. I think of the canonization process, like the Cooperstown Hall of Fame for baseball. There's people who aren't in the Hall of Fame, but they're still saints, if you know what I mean. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we know famous people of all different types of occupations and everything. You think we would have heard of, Billy Graham. You have Billy Graham, but other than Billy Graham, I can't think of anybody, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, one of the things that St. Therese, the little flower, said, that the greatest saints in heaven are not the canonized ones. They're the hidden ones.
Right.
And that was Ash Wednesday reading, you know, be hidden as your Heavenly Father is hidden. And when I was in Medjugorje, where, you know, the Blessed Mother appeared to the visionaries there, they asked her who the holiest one was in the village. And the Blessed Mother named a Muslim, Mushka, was the holiest woman in the village out of all the Catholics. So, by all means, you know, we're just not Catholics that go to heaven. You made me think of that story, Bob, the story with someone was given a tour of heaven, and they looked at all the different religions up there and all, and there was a big wall around, and they heard a lot of people laughing and cheering, and the Protestant said, who's that on that other side there? He says, oh, they're the Catholics. They think they're the only ones up here. But we're all God's children, you know. The Blessed Mother is the mother of the living, of all of us, and you know, God has no grandchildren. So to answer your question, hey, you don't have to be canonized to get to heaven.
Right, exactly, exactly. Yep, I used to tell that to the children, and you know, I taught third grade Sunday school. I said, anybody who dies and goes to heaven is a saint. I said, if your grandmother died and she went to heaven, she's a saint. I said, you could pray to your grandmother, you know?
No.
Now, down here, they also honor veterans very much in Florida, and St. Timothy's has a statue of a chaplain, and it has a plaque next to it. There are five chaplains who won the Medal of Honor, and they're all Catholic. I don't know.
How about that? Yeah, and the other thing I was
going to
say. about encouraging vocations is, you know, we can do that anywhere and everywhere. I was at St. Mary, not St. Mary's, where is it? Blessed Virgin Mary, Queen of Peace in Hawley, Pennsylvania, where we'll go to Mass once in a while when we're up the mountains. And I happened to be there, and a couple gentlemen in the pew next to me were late teens, early 20s, and really reverent during Mass and participated. And as we were walking out, there was kind of a holdup at the door, so I was right behind him as we're walking out, and I just happened to mention, "Good morning, fellas. Have you ever thought about being a priest?" And they both kind of looked at me, and they're like, "Not really." And I said, "Are you from around here?" And they're like, "Yeah, we go." They went to a small college right in the middle of Pennsylvania. They were home for the weekend, but when just making a simple question or making a suggestion, you never know what impact that's going to have. And I may never see those guys again. But I still remember that morning, and I continue to pray for them that God will, and the Spirit will direct them in their vocation, if they're being called to be priests. So we never know.
Well, I mean, we're a mission country now. Yeah. All the priests I know, they're from India, they're from Nigeria, they're from Haiti, you know. They're sending us missionaries.
Yep. So, all right, Bob. Always good to hear from you, brother.
All right, good to hear from you guys.
All right. Take care of yourself. Yep, you too.
Say hello to Patrick for me.
I'm waving to him, Patrick. And Patrick's waving back.
Very good.
All right, brother.
All right.
All right. We'll see you. You too.
Bye.
All right, Bob from Fruitland Park, Florida. Formerly from New Jersey, and before that from Boston. So today, we didn't even have a chance to get to him yet. St. Peter Damian, whose feast day we celebrate on the 21st, was born around the year 988 and would die on February the 22nd in the year 1072. To your point, Father, you know, you never know who's going to be called and when. Peter Damian was an orphan, got treated not so well by one of his brothers. And so as a result, he would always have an affiliation for the poor. He had another brother who was an archpriest at Ravenna who would really guide him along the way and send him to some good schools, and Peter would eventually become a professor. Even before he entered religious life, he was kind of strict with himself, a lot of mortification. He would wear a hair shirt, rigorous fasts, and spent many hours in prayer. He decided to leave teaching and would become a Benedictine of the Reform of St. Romuald at Fonte Avellana. He would live in a hermitage, two monks per hermitage, and he was there. He really needed to take care of himself. Like I mentioned, he would these mortifications. One of them led to insomnia. He would pray so much and stay up all night that eventually he would have insomnia. The abbot there wanted Peter to be his successor. So when he died, Peter would become an abbot. He would find another five hermitages, again, attracting more people to prayer. So his life was spent in prayer and solitude, but like other saints that we know that wanted to get away from the world, like Father McKay, they keep getting drawn back into the world. And so the Pope would call on him once in a while to be a peacemaker or to help out when there was disputes going on. He would become, a negotiator. Pope Stephen the Ninth would eventually make him the Cardinal Bishop of Ostia. He worked as Cardinal Bishop to wipe out simony, where people were able to buy their way up the ladder in the church, and would also encourage priests to observe celibacy and to really be prayerful and have religious observance. So basically wanted to restore these primitive disciplines for religious and priests. He wrote a lot of letters. There's still about 170 of them that are around. We also have 53 of his sermons and 7 biographies that he wrote of various people. He wrote liturgical offices, so he had a lot of talent writing in Latin. He wanted to retire as Cardinal Bishop of Ostia, and it was Pope Alexander II that finally let him off the hook. He went back to being just a monk, but would still get called once in a while by the Pope. He was overcome by a fever after an assignment in Ravenna, and with his brother monks around him praying the divine office, he would die on February the 22nd in the year 1072. In 1828, he was declared a doctor of the church. St. Peter Damian, whose feast day we celebrate on February 21st. Father.
Very good, Ken. You know, the whole thing was, where he started out there was, he was really intense with his vigils. So you mentioned the insomnia, that he was up like not sleeping. And then he couldn't sleep, you know, and it was really endangering his health. But the vigils, he did, you know, all-night vigils. And then fasting, you know, how he would fast. He would overdoing that. And prayer. And this was the virtuous life, Ken. And even after doing all that, he felt that he was still serving God only by halves. And he knew he had to leave the world. And he would leave the world he wanted to be a hermit. And that's when it really started. You know, like, yes, we're called to do our part, but sometimes we try to do our part all, you know, overdo it. I look at St. Francis of Assisi, you know, who went blind because of malnourishment, this insomnia from Peter Damian. You know, we can look back at them and say, boy, they really did it wrong. They overdo their penance. And sometimes we take the attitude where I'm not going to fast anymore or not even do vigils. But they didn't have the proper balance. But we learned from them. You know, I was thinking about the movie that came out some time ago that was called Star Trek V. And they had to come back from the 24th century into the 20th century for humpback whales to serve their century, 24th century. So they come back into the 20th century, and they're catching this whale that's in a museum, and the guards attack the Star Trek, and one of the Star Trek members, he falls down, he cracks his head, and he's bleeding from the inside. They rush him to the hospital, and the doctors are there, ready to saw open his skull to stop the bleeding. And the captain of the Star Trek comes in with this little gadget, and he puts it on the head of the injured man from the 24th century, and all of a sudden he goes, whoop, and he gets up, and he's fine. And the captain of the Star Trek says, you're a bunch of butchers. You know, that was kind of harsh to call the 20th century scientists, what we knew, butchers. And we do it with them, with Francis and Damien, all those saints. You know, you can never question their love for God. But the way they did things, we can question that. But the reason why the 24th century has that beautiful technology is because they grew off the 20th century. And we learn from all the past saints. We learn their flaws, their mistakes, but we also learn their gospel living and how they wanted to leave the world and give themselves to the Lord. And that's where it's all at, Ken. It's like virtues are not enough. You know, it made me think of the mansions of St. Teresa Avila. The first three virtues is what we do along with grace. We do asceticism. We deny ourselves. We pick up our crosses. And we got to do all that. You know, but then it comes to the fourth mansions where we leave the world. And in the fourth mansions, Teresa talks about the prayer of quiet. And it's where it's sort of like the passive life begins. It's not that we don't do anything in the passive life. We surrender. Now we let the Lord take care of things. He knows where we hurt. He's the psychotherapist. He knows where to touch us and to heal us. And we just sit and be still and know that He's God. I often think, you know, just so many times where people go for surgeries. They have tumors. Well, they can't get that tumor out of them. They have to go on their anesthesia, and the doctor cuts it out. Jesus is the divine physician, and contemplations are like a form of anesthesia, that we just rest in Him, and He begins to tear things out of us. And those fourth mansions, just to be very quickly, would be the prayer of quiet where God takes the will. You know, it's beautiful, but then a dark night's going to start because He has to do more digging. He has to trim the bushes in the dark night of the sense. And then the fifth mansion, just like Paul when he fell down, you know, on the way to Damascus. And God absorbs not only the will, but also the memory and the intellect. You can't move. And that's what's new in there, you know. And then the six mansions, of course, would be the ecstatic mansions where God is still at work. It's Cupid's arrows, the arrow of love, you know, the wound of love. Only thing that would cure that would be really the beatific vision. Then the mystical marriage can. So all those beautiful things happen. I know we're at the bottom of the hour. But once again, just getting back, it's just that, yeah, we do our vigils, our fasting, our prayer. It's what God expects us to do. But then sit and be still and leave the world. Be a hermit, you know, down the basement, upstairs, somewhere alone, solitude, and let God do the rest of the work and surrender to the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right, that brings us to the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we need your phone calls in order to do it. The phone numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll free 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. We're waiting on the callers. We need your calls for the Is That Odd or Is That God segment, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. While we're waiting, a quick rundown on the Calyx units here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. We meet every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia, at our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Streets. It's directly across the street from St. Gabriel's Church, but on the corner there. We begin at 6 o'clock p.m. with a short adoration period, followed by Mass and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. On the third Tuesday of each month, which was last night, we're over in St. Gabriel's Church, where we have a holy hour from 6 to 7 with confessions and prayers to Matt Talbot, and then Mass at 7 o'clock. The next third Tuesday will be in March. It'll actually be the Feast of St. Joseph on March the 19th. Why don't you come down and join us for Mass, in which we pray for all those that are affected by addiction. On the at the Unit of Queenie Universe in Levittown, they meet on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on Thursday, March the 7th. The Glenside Unit at St. Luke's, my home parish, meets on the third Saturday of each month. We joined the parish for 8:30 a.m. Mass, followed by our Calyx meeting. We just met this past week, so our next meeting will be on Saturday, March the 16th. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. They will meet this coming Saturday, February the 24th. And as Father mentioned at the outset of the show today, we have a new unit at the Malvern Retreat House, currently meeting once a month on the third Saturday of the month. They had almost 30 people that were there this past Sunday. And they'll be gathering again on Sunday, March the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. It's 4 o'clock p.m. Mass in St. Joseph's Chapel. And then refreshments are served and a meeting in the St. Joe's Library there to follow. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, we have a Calyx unit that meets at St. Matthew's every Wednesday at 6:15 p.m. for Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And my guest in the 5 o'clock hour today will be Patrick O'Hearn, who wrote a book called Our Lady of Sorrows, The Devotion to Mary's Seven Sorrows for Children, and Dr. Paul Chaloux, who I had on in the fall, and he's written the final book in the trilogy on suffering and dying. And today we'll be talking about Heaven's Currency, a study of love. So please stick around for the 5 o'clock hour. And just a reminder that we are on Facebook, Facebook Live. If you go out to In His Sign Catholic Radio and like or follow us, you'll be prompted each week when we go live on Facebook. And that's 5 days a week now. All the shows here at In His Sign Catholic Radio are currently going out over Facebook. So, having taken care of business, still no callers on the line, Father.
That holy boldness, Ken, I think the Spirit's touching hearts out there. They just got to dial the phone and break the ice, and they'll be glad they did.
Yeah, yeah.
Share your faith. It'll be more yours. You'll own it more.
Yeah, I'll give folks an example of one Tuesday, or Friday, rather. I was hanging out with Deacon John Thompson. He was a deacon for the Diocese of Allentown and when he lived up the mountains, and now he's back living with his daughter in Roslyn. And I was over spending a little time with him on Friday afternoon. And his daughter, Maureen, and another friend, Lindy, were headed out on retreat at Malvern. And while we were waiting, did I tell this story last week? I forget. I don't think so. Anyway,
I think so either. I think we got cut off.
Yeah. But while Mike's or Lindy's husband, Mike, dropped her off, she was going right out to the retreat house with Maureen. And Lindy came out a little while later before they left and said that her husband thinks he knows me from somewhere, and we went where I grew up, where I went to high school, and that wasn't the connection. And about a half hour later, she sent me a text message, and it was a copy of a message that Mike had sent her saying, Ken's dad was the coach, Ken played second base, and I was the shortstop and pitcher. And here we had played little league ball together 50 years ago. And so I guess I haven't changed all that much, but anyway, when I got home later that afternoon, I called my 88-year-old father down in Florida, and he often doesn't remember what he has for breakfast. And I said to him, you know, Dad, does the name Mike Greenhall mean anything to you? He said, sure. He played shortstop for us when we won the championship. And I'm like, there you go. You know, odd or God, I haven't seen Mike for 50 years. And you know, here we played ball together, and my father remembered him right away. So, otter God.
Otter God.
You know?
Yeah, you did share that at the Calyx one, too.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, we do have a caller on the line. We got.
All right.
Yeah, we got Joe. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good, Ken. How are you?
Joe D. How are you, brother?
Good.
I heard a rumor that you were at Malvern on Sunday.
Was there. What a great meeting that was.
Very good.
It's a really good meeting.
Yeah.
I heard Bob on the call. Miss him, too. I was listening to you guys talking about vocations, and an old story came to mind. They always have a vocation story on the back of the Knights of Columbus magazine. So okay. I remember reading this one time that there was a man who went to confession, and after confession, the priest made a suggestion to him. He said, "Did you ever consider a vocation to priesthood?" So he responded saying, "After hearing my confession, do you really think I'm worthy of becoming a priest?" So he said, "You know, God doesn't choose those who are worthy. God makes worthy those who are chosen."
Amen.
But he goes, "He chooses all of us, you know." And he said that had such an impact on him, and he ended up becoming a priest. And the other thing I thought of was, I don't know if you guys had met Father Tom Wheeler, who used to be our chaplain for the media unit.
Yeah.
But Father, I remember asking Father Tom one time, I said, how did you ever discern your vocation to the priesthood? And he said, "My uncles, they were both Jesuits." He said, "They were my role models. They set me on the course. I that's all I ever wanted to do." Very powerful.
Yeah, how about that?
Good stories.
Yeah, yeah. And what you said about being chosen, what is it? Jesus doesn't choose the qualified. He qualifies the chosen.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So. Father, any comment?
Yeah, you know, Joe, you made me think about my own vocation. In fact, this would be in my... in my book that I wrote, My Anointing's Echoes, I only wrote my vocation story that takes me up to my ordination to write 41 years of priesthood stories or conversion stories. But I remember after the fight here around the corner, Sam's Bar, and I felt so guilty. I went to confession and was a Vincentian priest, Father Leonard. That was the name on there. And I told him my story, and I said, "Father, do you think I could ever be a priest?" And I remember the words. He said, "Son, everything's possible with God. Go talk to your young cured here, Father McKay." And then I talked to Father McKay, and the ball was rolling. And that was the interesting thing. Get the ball rolling. Yeah. And I went to Father McKay. I was never inside a rectory, never in a sanctuary. And he answered the door, and he looked younger than me, newly ordained. And mm-hmm. I said, "Father, I think I have a vocation. Call me inside." And I told him my story. I always remember him saying, "St. Charles will never take you. No seminary will take you, because you'll have to go back to school and do high school all over again." And I really left feeling really great that he didn't say no, that it's still the possibility for me to be a priest. But he said to me, too, "Get the ball rolling." Yeah. And that was the honor of God. Both priests said, "Get the ball rolling." And then other priests would say, "You know, Jesus picks us as the weak ones to keep us on a short leash with him. He picks the weak to confound the strong." And I'm an example to that one. I'm a weak one. And he chosen me to be his priest. But, yeah, you made me think of my story, Joe, you know, because I wrote my book, and I wish anybody thinking out there, even nuns, you know, with their vocation, thinking because of the stuff they did in their past, that God would never call them, you know. And I remember reading a book from another priest from England. I can't remember the title now, but I said, "Man, if this guy became a priest, so can I." And then here in the life of Augustine, I'm saying, if he became a priest, a bishop, and even a saint, then maybe I can become a priest. So all those past experiences were really encouraging. And went to Malvern, you know, and talked to Monsignor James Meehan. And I tell you, he really encouraged me to follow my heart, my desire, stay close to the Blessed Mother and the Blessed Sacrament. And I went to the Blessed Sacrament for those 20 minutes, and something happened to me, you know, and I was assured of that calling to priesthood. So the vocations are out there, but the devil will work on us and say, "You're not worthy, you're not good enough." Well, God doesn't make junk. We're not our sins. And
right.
In fact, when you're weak and sinful and you change and you know God's mercy, you'll be a better priest than most priests that never really sin so seriously, because you know God's mercy, you know God's love. Is compassion, and you can proclaim it, not preach it, because you know it. But thanks, Joe. You brought back some memories for me in the beginning of my vocation.
I remember your book well. All of them.
Yeah.
All right. Joe, always good to hear from you, brother. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
All right,
bye. Oh, you know, Ken, I remember the Playboy the Priest it was. It was Kenneth Roberts. This comes to mind. Playboy the Priest. By Kenneth Roberts. That was a great story for me. And I said, hey, this guy became a priest. I can become a priest.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. A couple of weeks ago, we had Christine Watkins on. We talked extensively about Alphonse Ratisbon, who went from being a complete atheist to being a priest. So, you know, we never know, you know, what God's going to do or when he's going to do it. So be ready, yes. Be aware, be faithful and attentive, as we say.
You know, Ken, I was thinking too, and I hope somebody's out there listening and God's touching someone's heart for a vocation. But it was one of the nuns who read my book, and she said, I didn't know Father McKay was that bad. And I said, she didn't know the half of it. It was edited. But the Lord does. He read straight with crooked lines.
Amen.
But just follow that vocation, you know, and you'll know. Doors will open more and more.
All right. Very good. This past Saturday, did you have anything else, Father? Or do you want to go to this?
No.
All right. We'll go to the seven founders of the Servite Order.
Okay.
Whose feast day we celebrated on Saturday, the 17th. And these were seven men from Florence, were doing all right for themselves, and decided to get together and start praying. And there was all kinds of craziness going on in Florence at the time. This would have been in the 12th century, and or the 13th century, the 1200s. And so in 1240, seven men decided that they were going to get out of the city and go to a solitary place, that out-of-the-way place, where they would pray and direct service for God. One of the issues, though, was that they still had to take care of dependents. Two of them were still married, and two were widowers, so they had to make sure they provided for their dependents. Their goal was to lead a life of penance and prayer, and next thing you know, it's always interesting to me how, you know, and you're aware of this, Father, that, you know, when you have that vocation, when you seem to be living a holy life, and people will follow you wherever you go. We're reading in Jesus or in the gospel, you know, the last week or so, you know, people were coming from all over to find Jesus and follow him, wouldn't leave him be. Well, the same thing happened with these guys. People must have figured out where they were, and so they started to get visitors. So they had to go out even further. So they went to the deserted slopes of Monte Scenario. And then there was a Dominican priest, St. Peter of Verona, who in 1244 got them to wear a habit, the Dominican habit or variation of it, and then they would start to live under the rule of St. Augustine and took their name as the Servants of Mary. So they were more like mendicant friars than some of the older monastic orders. And then members of that community would come to the United States from Austria in 1852 and settled in New York. And later they would come right here to Philadelphia. And then there were two American provinces developed from the foundation in 1870 in Wisconsin. So they continued to lead that monastic life and active ministry in the monastery. They would lead a life of prayer, work, and silence. While in the active apostolate, they would teach, be involved in parish work, preaching, and other ministerial activities. So this was last Saturday, the 17th. We celebrated the seven founders of the Servite Order.
It just seems, Ken, so much in common with all the saints. I was just thinking of Peter Damian there, that leave the world, you know, just go by himself and into the hermitage and wanting to be alone, and how people would follow him. And even Anthony of Egypt, you know, wanted to sell everything, give it to the poor, and just leave the world, even, and people began following him. And this is how the Servites were, you know, businessmen, seven. Left the world. They, you know, they were growing up, you know, with their Catholic, their Catholicity, growing up with that, and they would meet one another, and they said, you know, let's get apart, and they left all the money and everything, and you know, and then as you said, they had people follow them. They wanted to stay with the seven. They moved up higher, and they still wanted to stay with the seven, And people would come, keep tracking them down. They wanted what they had. You know, they could see the radiance of the Lord in them, and they wanted that. And they wanted to stay to themselves still. And the bishop came and enlightened them. He said, you have to follow really the wisdom of the church, you know, and open your doors to other vocations, which they did. But it's like shortly after that, they had the vision of the Blessed Mother, you know, and she was the one who gave them the black habit. And there was a scroll, and inscribed with the scroll was the title, Servants of Mary, Servants of Mary. And Mary said to them, she addressed them to wear the black habit and to follow the rule of St. Augustine. And I remember that because it was on the date of April 13th, the day, my birthday, April the 13th, but that was 1240. I was 1951, but April 13th. Servants of Mary. Today, I believe there's something like, I was reading the Ordo, 875, something like that, the number. But and that brother Alexis, he didn't want to be a priest, but he lived to be 110 years old, and he was the one that lived the longest to see the order that was recognized finally, totally, completely by the church. That was St. Alexis. But it's just like, yeah, you know, we all need to have some, like a part-time hermitage. I was thinking about Mariotti, you know, he has that little garage here, I think he has that, you know, where he has that faith sharing every Saturday, but he can sneak out there and be by himself, you know. It doesn't have to be a desert or on top of a mountain somewhere. It could be in your basement, up in your bedroom, outside in the garage, somewhere quiet where you have solitude, and meet God, you know, and then the Lord will direct us according to our vocations. But remember, vocations are religious life and marriage life and the single life. But we're all called to build up the body of Christ, the church. And that, again, going back with St. Damian, that was his first love. It was Christ and his church. And the church is the mystical body. It's not brick and mortar. It's each and every one of us. It's the body of Christ. It's the children of God. And that's who he calls us to. You know, back to St. Damian, it was like the popes pulled him out because he was such a holy man to help them with the reforms of the church. He wanted to upheld clerical celibacy and simony that was going on, you know, nepotism. There was a lot of abuses in the church, and he was really strong with it. You know, he would really crack down on all this, and even on the monks and the hermits that would come, that would be lax and starting to live the ways of the world. But whatever he said, he would practice what he preached, Ken. And he did that all the way up till he died. And I always remember people would say, Father Doug, you should practice what you preach. And I said, well, you ought to be glad I don't preach what I practice, you know. But, you know, we preach the gospel. That's why I preach the gospel. I preach what I believe. But, man, I'll tell you, Ken, I'm in my 70s now. And a lot of good experiences, divine touches, revelations of the Lord. And so I don't like preaching anymore. I want to proclaim what I know, not preach what I believe, but proclaim what I have experienced and what I know. And that's Jesus Christ, and so present in all the tabernacles of the world and in all of our hearts, in the scriptures, in the church. He's everywhere. He's with us always until the end of the world. And we all need to proclaim that. We all need to follow our vocations, whether it's single, married, or religious, to proclaim our faith and be a witness to Jesus Christ, who's present with us, who's forgiven our sins, destroying death, taking away shame and guilt, and opening up that gate of heaven that we can come and be with the Father. That's his mission. His mission is to bring us to the Father, and that's what he does the best. In that Mass that we celebrate, he dies a criminal death to take away sin, guilt, and shame, and to prepare our hearts to receive him, the Father, and the Spirit, and the mystical body, his church, in Holy Communion, Ken. Wow. We all have that vocation to live and proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Be his witnesses to the ends of the world.
Yeah. I think I was talking a little bit about that this morning at our prayer group that, you know, I think for those of us that are in 12-step programs, we need to proclaim, like you said, what God has done for us in meetings, in you know, the meeting before the meeting and the meeting after the meeting. You know, we're called to do that in order to help other folks achieve sobriety, or you know, get clean from drugs or whatever it is that they might be addicted to. And yet we as Catholics, we don't feel the need to do that. We leave it to the religious, the priests, the brothers, the sisters. And I think, as I said this morning, the fact that we have this relatively small group that gets together and you know, literally share our faith with one another, and what God has done for us, and the issues we might be having, or the questions that we have, and to be able to share that and talk about it is just awesome. And you know, just like suggesting to people that maybe they have a vocation, you know, striking up a conversation with somebody about the spiritual life, you really don't know, because how it's, I think oftentimes we think that people are going to think we're nuts if we start talking about it. And yet the same God that has aroused the curiosity in us to learn more about who he is and what the faith is about, that same curiosity is in every single person we come across every day. They may not know it. They know that they have a yearning, a desire, that there's something bigger and better out there. They may or may not know that it's God. But when we strike up those conversations, sometimes the response is far from what you expect it to be. You know, given a miraculous medal to basically a street person on it, and having them cry because they haven't had one since they were a little kid. Talking to them about God. And again, it's God's already stirred it up inside of them. You talked about it. We still talk about it once in a while. The first show that Monsignor did here on that Monday, talking about, you know, you set the table for God in your homily. And that's what we can do. You don't have to be a priest to do that. You can set the table for God to help other people, just by striking up those conversations. And they don't have to get real deep. Just, you know, share your own experience. If they walk away and think you're crazy, you know, so be it. But you don't know. You're not responsible for the results. You're only responsible for sharing it with them. I got just 2 minutes left, Father.
Yeah, Monsignor McHenry, we set the table. Yeah. And then Jesus is the one who feeds us. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But, Ken, I had the experience last Tuesday, when I was before, not this past Tuesday, before the Blessed Sacrament, I was exhausted. I'm kneeling down in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I feel the rage coming down on me. I said, Lord, just don't bless me. Let them go through me right to the penitents, you know, the ones behind me, my brothers and sisters. And I felt them being blessed. And then at that meeting, in that faith sharing, they were talking about things that I needed to hear, and they were blessing me. And it was, they were preparing the table, and Jesus was feeding me through them, after blessing them through me, asking Jesus not to bless me, but to bless them. I know we're out of time. I'd like to go on with this one, Ken, but yeah, it was a great show. And let Jesus feed one another. We need one another. We are the mystical body of Christ.
Amen.
Okay.
Blessing?
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Lord, join our hearts together as one, as your mystical body, and draw more vocations to your church, Lord, that we may proclaim the gospel truth of who we are, where we're going, where we belong with you, in the bosom of our Heavenly Father by the gift of the Spirit. And bless us all, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, Father. And for those that are listening, our 5 o'clock guest is already on the line. Patrick O'Hearn will be talking about Our Lady of Sorrows. So we ask you to stick around. Don't go away, because we'll be right back.